Civil War is the new film from filmmaker Alex Garland that takes place as a group of photographers and journalists seek to document the ongoing crisis in the United States as it falls to civil war. Mm-hmm. This is a new film from A24, the most expensive film that A24 has ever produced. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it just had a world premiere at the South by Southwest Film Festival here in Austin, where we are still here watching and talking about still movies. Mm-hmm. This is probably one of the most anticipated films of the festival. Yeah. Art, was this your most anticipated? I know it was one of your most anticipated of the year.
Mine. It wasn't, because it wasn't on the schedule when we did our preview.
It's true. And then they added it late,
and I freaked out. I was like, come on, out of everybody, Alex Garland is easily the director that has now fit the Denny mold, like I was telling you guys. It used to be hard to pitch Denny because he made that Spider movie and he made some weird stuff. Now he's big. Mm-hmm. Alex Garland, I know a lot of people ignore some of the selections he's made.
I'm surprised he got this after Men.
I am surprised he got the biggest budget.
Yeah, well, I mean, that is one of the things that this was in production before Men and then ended up getting paused because of pandemic stuff.
But he just emailed them.
Sort of shifted to Men.
Yeah, but he was like, I kind of want this idea. And they're like, yeah, sure, whatever you need. And cool. It's like, okay, just like that, he's about to make the first IMAX.
But Alex Garland has earned a bit of trust.
He's earned everything.
He's certainly one of the more dominant or notable, I guess, voices that we have in sci-fi.
Yeah.
Ex Machina is considered like a modern classic by a lot of people. All of us, I think.
You remember the story with Ex Machina?
What story?
Their marketing, it was A24, fresh as can be, decided to put Alicia Vikander into the dating apps here at South By to bait guys to swipe on her.
Okay.
She matched with everybody, and they said, meet me at a date for this screening, and that's how they baited a bunch of dudes to come to the Ex Machina premiere.
That's pretty dope.
A lawsuit came after that, and they fixed it. But A24 has had some really weird marketing stuff.
That's a good one.
Nothing weird here other than telling people it's going to be the 13th and then making it the 14th, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was an A24 problem or a South by Southwest.
Right, it's maybe a South by problem.
Communication problem.
Probably.
But. I guess the aftermath will be, I don't know, Civil War? I don't know what the marketing is going to be here.
But, you know, beyond Civil War, he also has his roots in writing. He's the voice behind 28 Days Later. Mm-hmm. As a filmmaker after Ex Machina, also ended up making Annihilation, made Men, which we mentioned.
Which you and I found out.
He started as an author.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. I know his game like that.
Surprisingly involved with Dread, which that's the
one. That was another one that we were like, Dread.
I forgot about that.
Because he was like writing. I was like, okay. He's like, and kind of directing. I'm like, when?
Yeah.
Hey, but now I can kind of see it, because that's a very action-heavy movie, and this is the best action we've gotten out of A24. It's thrilling.
It does feel like a bit of a departure for Garland, who tends to make headier movies, make movies that are a little bit more about their ideas.
Like Annihilation.
And this is a bit more about just like what's happening, right?
Yeah,
made
like a point B. Will they make it?
Exactly. This is a journey movie about this group of journalists who are trying to go from where they are
in New York
to D.C., mm-hmm. or Charlottesville, alternately, where the fighting is happening, where the current president of the United States is. Maybe you've seen some of the marketing material around this movie that put up a map which shows a Californian Texas alliance and a Florida. What was the Florida called?
So it's basically the First and Second Republic of California and Texas, then the Florida Alliance, the Western Forces. Those guys are all together, I'm getting the impression. And then there's the Loyalists,
which kind of runs through the
Bible Belt
of the country
into the East Coast.
And I think a lot of people reacted to that being like, this makes no sense based on current U.S. politics.
Yeah,
and they are right about that. But this is a movie that is not really engaging with the politics in that way, for lesser or for better, depending on your perspective. Would it be fair to say that this movie takes place in like an alternate present? Because there's futuristic weapons or it doesn't.
They're using an A7S, like a Sony A7S is her current modern camera setup.
Exactly. It's not like this is the year 2057. It feels like the present.
It does.
Other than all the politics being completely different and the map not looking like our own.
Yeah. I do think that it is going to be taken by people whichever way they want to take it.
Yeah.
And you had mentioned something in an earlier review for Monkey Man about how you approach that movie with obviously a lot of backstory that you can get from India. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you went in there as the action movie that it was. Surprisingly, this isn't going to get that because it freaking marketed itself at Civil War during an election year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So people are going to go in there and I think be surprised that it's way more simplistic than we were expecting it to be.
Yeah.
This is Mad Max for press people.
Mm. Yeah.
Will they make it? That is what it is. It is the story of someone really an artist, if they weren't even press, an artist trying to make it above her idol. Right. That is what the movie is.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to be picking out, wait, why do they have this? And like you were saying, why these two states? And people started wondering, you know, well, technically Cali's got a lot of red and it's the cities that are blue. But Illinois is like
the,
that.
That's not the debate. It's
that people will have that. Yeah. And the movie never cared.
No, the only thing that the only thing you know for sure is that the president has become a dictator.
He's going for another term.
He's installed his third term. He's in it. He's disbanded the FBI. That's all you're told.
You're getting
the idea that regardless of what his political alignment were, it's big enough that even if in this kind of like altered universe, California and Texas are exactly as they are now, this was a big enough bad to link together to fight this.
I think if you really like want to make the argument about how this could fit, like you could, but like this is like,
but it's not. It's fair to say that he literally came out, and he said, "I was not worried about any of that stuff. I was seeing things in 2020. I was pitching this idea, and he wanted that approach." But it does begin with real life footage.
It does.
It does. And
shot himself in the foot there.
I agree.
That's not going to bait people.
It'll bait people. I just don't think that really matters that much.
But it's going to ruin the conversation of the movie. And I can look past it and be like, I see what you were using that for.
Yeah.
That's the thing people are going to stick on. I mean, they stuck on Texas and California.
They're stuck. They're still stuck there. I got over that. And I was like, what a weird world we're in right now. How far in the future is this that Cali and Texas are together?
I think it chooses to not decide. Yeah. And then that gets another group of people to complain together because they're like, oh, it's just. He's picking both sides.
And there's an argument to be made that being apolitical about political elements is in itself a statement that is kind of like with the status quo. But that's not really the objective of the movie. If it's not meeting the movie where the movie is.
And,
You can dismiss it for that.
Story.
But I think it's a story about journalists. It's a story about like what the on the ground feel of a country in conflict is like. And I think in a lot of cases, it's looking out at the world in which there have been lots of situations like this. Mm-hmm. We have seen countries fall to civil war that we're consuming through bits of journalism, bits of media or photographs.
Yeah.
But it's applying all of that to the United States, which is completely unfamiliar for us as American or American viewers.
Well, current Americans.
You spent like 35% of your time.
You guys have the iconic Civil War.
Not in the modern times.
Of course, that's what I'm saying. It's bringing
we got a sequel before we got the trilogy.
That's the thing. Like the most poignant feeling I felt while I was feeling it was just kind of while watching it is just that like, you know, it does kind of force you to feel like really fortunate that as of right now, that is not on our front doors. And like the closest we've gotten to that in our life is 9/11, which tragedy, obviously I'm just saying
a difference
that
to the scale.
It just, that things didn't
but that's also outside forces.
That's outside forces. And like the Civil War, I would say it was a different type of Civil War came after 9/11 here, but more on American people, but it is just very harrowing to just kind of see all these things that look so familiar. And then at one scene is going to start looking like it's out of The Walking Dead, and it's like, well, no, that is just realistically what it would look like if huge city centers started fighting and cars couldn't continue passing
through. And it's like different than like a White House down.
Yes, or very
different.
Like that, right?
It's not portraying the action as this kind of like epic, awesome craziness or Armageddon style movie. This is really like there's a grittiness, there's a groundedness to the way
desperation
it's
to people getting water, just like basic necessities again.
So that when you see like Washington D.C. and there's like bombs, smoke bombs or whatever, coming forth from like monuments, that does
like
feel different.
It does. It kind of feels like the Purge.
Yes, that's actually a good point. And because the Purge is the Purge, everyone just looks the other way.
Mm-hmm.
They think he's like getting notes from the president. They think this is another, was the Netflix one from last year that no one can take with a grain of salt because everything had to be like a message in that movie. Leave the World Behind?
Dude,
people were connecting that movie with this movie. Like, how could you not mention the two? They're clearly in cahoots. I'm like, those are two different production companies.
100%.
So you cannot change those people's minds, right? And because of that, I do believe that if he's trying to be apolitical, okay, are you ignoring how one side takes movies? Mm-hmm. They're going to read into it. And ironically, we've also kind of seen other side also has overly read into it as well. We'll get into all of that eventually, but the idea being that this is more so, like you were saying, a tactical mission. If it wasn't in the United States, we would be able to chill out and see the movie. But because it's happening here and not like Independence Day where it's like, oh, blow up the White House, it's like, oh, is this how they're gonna take the White House?
And Leave the World Behind is an interesting comparison in one sense, just because of the way that that movie feels sort of insulated from the outside world.
This one goes in there.
It's sort of like it's not as much of a bubble because they are in media, they are reporters, but it really is like their immediate experience. They're not cutting to the CNN broadcast where they're bringing you hear a little bit on like radios and stuff like that, but it's
early
really
on.
It is really it's like there. What would it be like to navigate a country in the midst of a conflict like that?
What's it like when
stopping on the side of the road is not just like a casual thing, but a life or death situation.
Questioning,
and they do that with the montage.
Yeah, they do that with
the montage. And then people complain about the montage.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just like basic things like just questioning, like, is it safe to stop for gas here?
Right.
Are the things that should be afforded to us as journalists, the protections that we're supposed to be getting, is that going to be valid everywhere when there's no...
For the record, when I'm going through Alabama, I still ask that question if I should stop for gas.
You know, I felt really good about it overall. Like, I know that Civil War, I'm going to be good. My Canadian money will do me well. Overall, I do like it. I do think it's going to be a weird thing, a little bit like what we were saying with Dream Scenario, where sometimes you start hearing the director and, like, maybe an actor's thoughts on the movie start changing what some of the intention in the movie was and almost forces you to kind of, like, reckon with it. Kind of hearing Alex Garland say things like, you know, right and left doesn't mean good or evil. You know, like if people just talk, and I'm like, I'm sorry, there are issues right now that people are really mad about. Then those are the ones you can't just talk about because it's like literally about whether or not some people deserve to be alive.
For sure. But I do think like if you actually asked him about those specific issues,
he would have
a stance. It's more like, I think the thing that he's going after is like a larger sense of like, there are always sides at conflict.
Absolutely.
And what is the polarization eventually lead to?
I just wouldn't use the terms left and right.
You don't think he's been doing this?
That's a mistake, but.
Since the beginning? What? I feel like he did it in the 28 Days Later. He did it in Annihilation. But then the topic in Men is when people went no. And then this one is getting more people to go no. I don't think the writer has changed.
Mm-hmm. You know, me neither. No,
but I think the subject matter is what gets people to go, ooh, well, I don't know about this one. But it's like you agreed with the thinking in Annihilation. Civil War is another form of
Annihilation.
He didn't write it, but he directed it.
He did, but those ideas were already out there. That's a book.
28 Days Later?
That's fair. I agree. Devs. I agree with what you're saying. Yeah, Devs. Like, there's a lot of things I agree. But I do sometimes, I think that sometimes the subject matter does affect how you can take something. It's like you could very easily have people out there being like, Alex Garland is a sci-fi? Absolutely. Alex Garland in American politics when he's not American, when he's not any, like, no. I will
give him credit. It wasn't the worst. He did not do a Tyrell.
No. And honestly, I was saying I like the movie and I get what he's going
for. I agree with you. I do think that is a critique to, place it in modern day America and using regular footage is going to get people to add their own inklings. Again, in an election year, it's just it's very heavy loaded, but in that A24?
It's certainly setting itself up in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But I think like if you try to take the movie on its own merits.
Good luck.
You know, there's still like a lot to dig into that's interesting.
I agree.
But all that being said, it is very surface level. It is
surprisingly.
There isn't bigger thematic things that I feel like it's wrestling.
What did they disagree with? They don't tell you what the sides got into a conflict.
Yeah, the only I think it's just the president trying to usurp
and the president.
I honestly think the loyalist is just I don't want to get involved.
Yeah,
right.
You know,
which we sort of see in one scene depicted in the movie the way that certain people just remove themselves from a conflict.
It's also a lot. You know, he said it was based off a lot of stuff that he saw in 2020. And there's that scene in the movie where they go and in the trailer where everything is super quiet. And they're like, oh, we just don't involve ourselves with that stuff. And it's like, you know, we weren't in full violence. We're not in full violence right now. In 2020, you could say there was more of a ruckus going on. Yeah. But it's like that same idea was still there. Who decides to tune it out and who decides to be in the front lines? Yeah. I think he even goes as far as we get into the acting that in covering this press, he's showcasing what it's like to exploit, to make it up the ranks.
Like,
the ugliness of what is being a photojournalist in these war times and how to even get
bleeds,
up there. What
it
makes
bleeds, you know?
Yeah. There is this insane shot without spoiling it that I always think of when you see these people win like major awards.
Yeah.
You know that picture of the person who took the baby who was about to die with the crow about to eat it and it drove
the
that
vulture?
Guy crazy?
Yeah, the vulture.
Like they comment on that in this movie.
Yeah.
What you have to do to get that. To make it in this world.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's condemning it either. It's just acknowledging the reality.
That is where he plays both sides in a very good way.
Yeah, I agree.
Incredible performance from
Kristen Dunst.
She's good. Everybody. She is great.
They played well off of each other.
And like, this is such a different role for Kristen.
Yeah.
Yes. She looks so tired.
She looks so fucking tired.
This is a little bit more like her role in Bachelorette, where she's got a little bit of a harder edge to her. She's not good. Because she plays sort of sunny and bright.
Yeah, really she does, because she's such a sunny, bright person.
But she is so, like, flat.
She is.
And refuses to sort of, like...
Experienced.
She refuses to be vulnerable.
She's had to shut herself off to so much. For one, you know, the career she's doing, and two, being, like, a woman in the career she's doing... is like a whole other level of thing. And I don't know. I think every of like that whole, like basically people are like asking about different characters. The only people you really need to worry about is that four central cast that are in that truck in the trailer. Those are the only people that really matter. They're the only people you need to worry about. And I think they all play well off each other and they all kind of go through interesting progressions. Like it's really interesting to see. So the guy who plays Joel kind of like to see him go from being like overjoyed of like the more there's action, he's all like, this is going to be so good. I'm so excited to get in the thick of it. Cause he's just like, totally desensitized from how the violence is, but then when it kind of
Wagner Mora is the actor's name. Yes,
yeah.
Is that not Narcos?
He's so fucking.
Is it?
I didn't watch deep enough in the Narcos.
Anyway, he's so fucking good.
Isn't he? What's his name?
He kind of looks like Pedro too. Kind of looks like they couldn't get Pedro.
No, he looks like my boy Arturo from.
Arturo. Yeah, he does.
He looks like the serious version.
He is. He's really good. He was fantastic. But and then like so you know how things happen like as the story progresses, things happen that make him kind of like have to question what he's known and what he assumed his protections were.
Characters reckoning with, you know, how. The paths that they've put themselves into, right? Like that there's this constant balance between like trying to seek out the new story as it's happening and also doing it in a way where you'll actually live to see the next day. Because when you are this wartime journalist, when you're a front lines reporter, you put yourself at risk and you don't know what's coming around every corner. And I think when the movie really excels, it's doing so in kind of like a horror movie fashion of like, you know,
the tension.
That tension of not knowing what's around the next corner.
Yeah.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And then you also have to reckon with the characters that like don't seem to learn from things, and then kind of get pulled in weird ways. It was just really interesting to see. I have so many like I don't know. There's like
to go off what you said. Stephen McKinley gives a good line on that part where it's not even that they're like scared to go in it. They're also so bored when they're not doing this job that they're like, I shouldn't, but damn me, what am I going to do? Just sit here?
Yeah.
They're addicted to it.
It's a
really fascinating movie.
It's the rush.
And she even
says that. And like, it made me think about things. She was just kind of like, I've never been more scared or felt more alive.
Yes.
And I'm sitting there and I'm like, I could be a firefighter.
Yeah. And then what you were saying about how they like play off of each other, she is looking at a younger version of herself, the person who's entering here, seeing how she
But like,
fixes
I think even a dumber
things.
Version, I do think that she's a dumber version of what it sounds like basically.
It'll be for our spoiler talk bit. Boy, do I have some thoughts on, especially that second half.
That second half, man.
I was frustrated and I was intrigued at the same time. I was never, like, upset by it. It's one of those things where we always talk about the writer wrote maybe a frustrating choice that a character did, but not something that came out of nowhere.
Right. Oh, it tracked.
It all feels within the world that he's created.
But I do have two complaints, and I'm going to get to that.
Okay.
But I want to say that he was Pedro Escobar, bro.
Oh.
Okay, there you go.
That's
Hell
crazy.
Yeah. He
so
was
good
cool.
for him.
Yeah,
wow. Yeah.
Pedro,
yeah. No, he's incredible in the movie. I do believe that there are shots in the trailer that are only there because they wanted really cool action sequences. And then you get to the movie and you're like, it's completely and utterly pointless. I'm going
to
mention two.
Trailer. Go for it.
There's a car sequence. That was dumb.
That happens early on in the movie?
The car sequence where they just dive over the
truck.
I don't care for that. Go watch the trailer and then you're going to be like, are you serious? That's why they had it in the movie?
That was so dumb.
It does get you to a point B. But that leads me to them arriving at a place that we also see in the trailer. Why would they be at a thrift shop? It was like, I felt it was just for the scene of like, oh, we just ignore what's outside. And I'm like,
if it had been a
Alex
coffee
did
shop,
not do this.
Maybe, had been
is this why they gave you know, a
coffee shop?
What would they be doing?
Grocery store.
Why a thrift store?
Even another gas station.
But they needed someone who was at a thrift shop just selling like not real
Normal
stuff.
Things,
it
yeah,
would have been a real worker and it wouldn't have given the vibe that they wanted to. Those were two sequences where I was like, this doesn't seem like it's coming from Alex Garland. It feels like a bit
weird
for the trailer.
It was a little weird.
But the characters were...
Because it almost made it seem like more of a...
I don't have that problem with the thrift shop that you do, but yeah, the car sequence is a little bit... I don't know. It feels very unnecessary given the other perils that they face in the world.
I was so mad. I was like, why?
Why are you doing that, bro?
You just had some dumb...
And that's where I'll tell you, yeah, she is dumber.
Dumb as
fuck. For the thrift shop, the second half of the thrift shop was cute. I don't think
it's cute.
It didn't need to be the bit. It was actually kind of cute.
I think it was kind of cute. It's also a little bit of like in that moment they're experiencing something that is alien to them.
Yeah, true, right? Absolutely.
It's that weird normalcy of
yeah.
It.
They needed to go somewhere where they would have been, but Maura had a funny bit towards the end of that
scene. Restaurant, even just something. A restaurant would feel so weird. There. But like, yeah, no, I get it.
Those would be the core four. Again, she stood out the most to me.
Yeah, I don't think we've said Kaylee Spaney's name.
She's very good, but infuriatingly so. She's a character,
but I understood her. Like I got what she wanted to be because she's the other side of the older Stephen McKinley's character who wants to be there, knowing that he's slow.
Yeah.
Well, it's that youthfulness, that perhaps precociousness, that optimism and hope that she brings. Even
it's a good ensemble.
And
they're able to play off of each other well. But Steve, I want to circle back with Stephen McKinley,
please,
because he's just
fantastic.
Such a pleasure anytime he's in a movie. But
they took him out of Dune 2, but you got to see him in IMAX.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I mean, I just think he's such a great actor and brings so much pathos and good addition to the cast there. All the cast is really excellent. The film itself, you know, it is really absorbing. I think he creates a world that you want to know more about and want to keep learning about. I'd say there are like some moments where the pacing lags a bit, but then you get to that last, like, I want to say 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. It is a bit of a tonal shift, but it is some of the most effective, like, combat war film making that I've ever seen. Perhaps it's because we do have that, like, reference of it being in America rather than, like, you know, nameless sand dune somewhere.
We came out of it going, like, the sound.
Yes.
Sound. Actually had to plug my ears for a lot of it. It was too loud.
It was so loud at the Paramount. I couldn't even imagine what you were going through there.
I had to plug my ears a lot. I have pretty sensitive ears as it is. And it was like, I can still hear absolutely everything that's happening with my ears plugged.
I don't know how to explain it. Every sound sounded like it was happening.
It feels like you're in war. It feels like somebody's shooting guns next to your ears and that like bombs are going off.
When the jets were going through, I go to the jet thing yearly at Lakeshore in Chicago. Bro, it felt like they were above. I'm like, how did you record these? And he said, we recorded every single sound. They were doing all the artillery, all of the tanks, all of that stuff.
That's why it's expensive.
No, they knocked us out of the park. I think, again, we're talking about, you know, civil war. We got to divide a country, yada, yada. Whoever approaches this movie from whatever side, like, I think the people who are like, this is liberal garbage, are going to look at it and be like, it was the best liberal garbage that's got all the sounds and technique and everything.
And
like,
honestly, I don't know who's going to be against anybody going in to try to kill a president that tried to fight for a third
ironically,
term without
the mission of trying to go kill the president feels more of a right thing. And then it's
because
ironically
of what
the left who have been getting very iffy on, well, I don't want to say right or left. I think that's...
No, but I agree. I know what you're trying to say. It is reductive, but I get what you mean. It's just
the self-proclaimed people that I'm speaking about. Consider themselves that, and I found it an interesting discussion because I think in that approach there, when we're talking, not too much spoilers, but is it a depiction of certain Americans getting the bad end of the stick? And I would argue, I don't think so, but if it was, are we having that Dune talk where obviously those characters would be?
Yeah.
Like, the people who get hurt here, like, are you asking for a civil war where they're the ones who are on top? Like, it would be the opposite in that case. But then it turns out a lot of those complaints aren't necessarily from the four characters that we're seeing.
Right.
It's flashbacks and imagery, which is ironic because any imagery of a person of color in this movie after that end credit scene, I don't think it holds up. I think there's... It's both sides through and through.
It is. It really is. It's heavy on both. Like, everyone's...
Yeah. I really...
You'd have to ignore a lot.
Yeah, I really don't think you can, like... There's enough politics in the movie to critique.
Yourself.
You can critique it for being apolitical, but it's not injecting anything into it, really.
Which,
positive or negative. But I think the thing is that... the thing that unifies Alex Garland as a filmmaker is he tries to provoke and unsettle.
He does.
Right? Like, he tries to... give you a vision of the future that we want to avoid.
Yeah.
And in that way, he succeeds in this movie.
And self-reckoning with yourself. Because again, I'm not going to say specifics, but I do wonder that there was definitely a time where there's so many people, both sides would be like, no, third terms, that's ridiculous. That's unconstitutional. That's un-American.
But you find the person you want.
But I think exactly, you find the person you want, and a lot of people are going to be like,
and it's that, yeah, because should be that.
He deserves it. Mm-hmm. He deserves it.
Even if you do like the person, it's realizing like, nah, that'd be ridiculous on the opposite end.
It's ridiculous on the opposite end. You got to take it. If this happens on my end, it's gotta, I have to be okay swallowing it on the other side, so it's better not to do that.
That's too grown. That's too grown.
We are gonna have a probably more interesting, deeper discussion.
I want to watch it in IMAX, like she
got with spoilers.
Hell yeah, great in IMAX. I was a little too close, but like it was, it's put it this way, I have to wear glasses when I go to the movies. The glasses were disorienting me. I had to take them off. I was that close. It felt good though. I was like, I was in it, you know? It was really nice.
Yeah. You had mentioned a previous movie as well that it's one of those where you have to rewatch it again. This is definitely you know the whole journey, to sit there, really understand the characters more really take in
tissue.
Yeah, just again the technical aspect of this movie. It's possible to put all the political sides to the political stuff to the side, what a well-made movie. Yeah. He really did step it up. It's not my favorite Alex Garland movie.
No, not by any means.
One of my favorites out of the Fest,
for sure.
And I think it was just a big step up for him, and I'm fascinated to see.
Yeah, because they even look... You know, I feel like a downfall for a lot of movies is that like they'll have people go through really weird situations and then clean them up too quickly when there's no logical time. Unless there's been a logical time, these people are going to look... Like, you can see, I don't know if you guys could tell, but, like, I can see her putting, like, foundation under her eyes that is not her skin tone to try to get rid of how tired she fucking looks and wore. Whether that was a mistake, and that they just didn't do her makeup that well for the movie, I'm getting the impression that she's just kind of like, I need to not look as dead in the water right now. So she has, it's, like, slightly more yellow than her skin tone underneath her eyes.
It's also, like, maybe it's fewer resources in a wartime.
She doesn't strike me as the type who would care about makeup.
Right.
I just think it's kind of like, I just want to make sure I get taken seriously where I'm going places, and it's just like, or this has just been here.
Smart.
You know, it just kind of has that look to her face. You could really see it. And
because
you know,
in them taking pictures, there's also a performance of it. There's like one bit where Kaylee's trying to compose a shot.
Yeah.
She kind of like gets underneath her to be at the same position of the framing. Yeah. It's good stuff. That's what I really want to revisit, and I think really is the crux of the story. It's what
it's the documentation. It's how it's being documented, and then how people
are the people
engage.
Who tell the story,
and how people are going to engage with that story. The bit depending on how the story ends up being told.
There was a banger line from them about why they do what they do, and it's this idea that every time they went out to other war torn places, it was to send a message home of what not to be. And now they're there.
Mm-hmm. So what's the point of anything?
Who are they sending it to?
Who are they sending it to? Who are we sending it
to? That is where he gets in his horror bag
and
again without it being.
That's what I mean. And that's where the movie is the strongest, is this whole idea is like...
How do we get here?
And that's what I mean. And like, I feel like that's all around the world right now. Like, war is always a thing. It's just easier for us to see where it's happening all over the place now. And solutions aren't always immediately present, you know? Like, you want things to stop, but it's like, how do you make them stop? Like, you can't just say, I want this to stop.
Yeah.
Then, like, so at some point, people go in, and then that turns into a bad thing, and it's so messy. So the whole thing is just like, we need to document all this and try to make sure it doesn't happen, and then
we need an hour-long intercut on foreign policy.
maybe we'll do that in our spoilers review of this movie eventually. We want to keep it as spoiler-free as possible here. I don't love to make our reviews about other people's reviews, but I feel like the sentiment that I've been seeing from a lot of people out of Civil War is either this is a masterpiece or this is garbage.
Yeah.
And I think we're all like...
We're a review within that sphere, so we kind of have to
more
discuss it. Yeah,
we do.
About... Because we know what the comments
will
be.
People
are going to come
in. People were saying masterpiece within 2 minutes.
Well, every time we do these, you know, last year at South By, we would review a movie and people who haven't seen it will review it for us or our review of it. So that's why you got to, like, bring in the context of it that, the people coming out saying masterpiece and people coming out critiquing it, or the people reviewing it without having seen it, I think leads to the opposite of what the movie is saying, which is that there is a discussion to be had to be able to stop riffs like this.
Yeah.
And if we can't do it for a movie... then we're not going to do it for what the plot of the film is saying. Yeah. It's going to happen to this
country. We might be helpless.
Remember, they're trying to distract you with social distractions. They're trying to get you mad at people who are just trying to live their lives.
There you go.
Calm down. Focus on what matters. Is you getting fucked over by rich people.